Hello.
You're here.
Dun, dun, dun. I like to always keep everyone in terror as to whether or not I'll show up.
I know.
On Hay House Radio, I showed up 3 minutes early yesterday and they were freaked out. They were like, why are you already here? Usually it's as the 30-second countdown timer is ticking and I jump on. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome everybody to our final masterclass in the Taste of Super Coach Academy series. And again, if you're new to Zoom, if today's your first day, then you've got two views. At the top right, you have a speaker view, which will make me or whoever's speaking big on your screen. And you've got a gallery view, which will let you see 25 people or more often about 13 people and about 13 blank heads. But you get used to it. And today we're going to be focusing on results. And results is sort of like, along with performance, it's like, this is the sexy bit, right? In theory, this is the like, ooh, results. We're talking about results. Finally, results, results, results. And yet it's no different to everything else we've been talking about, because the same things that enable you to perform at your best are what allow you to achieve higher levels of result. In other words, I remember talking to Don Donovan, who, those of you who've been around the Three Principles world, he's now the president of the Three Principles Global Community, but he ran a multi-billion dollar corporation for many years. And he brought the principles into that corporation as part of a program called State of Mind and Success. Because he knew that when people wake up to this deeper potential, when they wake up to what they have inside them, and when they get out of their own way, when their relationship with their own thinking changes, when their relationship with their own feeling states change, when their relationship with fear and insecurity and doubt changes, success is a natural byproduct of that. So it's sort of like, if you think about the way most people go about their lives and go about creating results in their lives, and this metaphor actually came up on a call this morning where I was talking to somebody, and we talked about it's like having manacles, like in one of those old 1950s movies. I mean, they probably do it in real life too, but like, you know, where you have the manacles on the feet and the prisoners have to kind of shuffle forward with the manacles, and sometimes they've got the handcuffs too. Well, most people go about creating results like that. They're handcuffed. They're manacled by their own thinking. Now, often in coaching, you know, people go, oh, by their beliefs, you mean. Well, beliefs are just thoughts that you have a lot, right? They're handcuffed by their lack of understanding of the nature of thought and their lack of understanding about where experience comes from. And it is amazing how tough we are as human beings. It is amazing how much we can push through and make things happen, even when we are manacled by and handcuffed by our own misunderstanding, our own limited understanding of what we're capable of, our own limited understanding of where our feeling states are coming from. And when you take the manacles off, it gets so easy. The exact same activity without manacles is just going for a walk. And when you aim yourself in a direction and you go for a walk, chances are pretty good you're going to get there. Now, you might get distracted along the way. You might, you know, I'm going to let my dog in because he's going to do this for the next hour if I don't let him in. So excuse me for one moment.
Come on.
Pepper. So I'll introduce you to him. This is Sergeant Pepper. He likes to be involved. What can I say? in a way, okay, let me actually do it this way, because this is the truth of anything that we look at. There is already a truth to how people perform at their best. There is already a truth to how we get results. There is already a truth to how impact happens. And so rather than kind of go, okay, well, somebody tell me that truth and I'll write it down and then try and do it, let's take a look together and see what we can see for ourselves about it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, and you probably want to jot this down on a piece of paper, but I want you to jot down one, two, or three things that you know are going to happen, that you are going to, now you might not even think of them as results. So it could be, well, look, I know I'm going to have dinner tonight, but making dinner is a result, right? I know I'm going to fly out to Supercoach Academy next year, but I know I'm going to do something. It's as good as done. You could consider it done. And so like, if I was going to do that right now, I would say, okay, I know I'm going to be on the interview that I've got booked after this call. I know I'm going to write Creating the Impossible and I'm going to meet my deadline. And I know that, and I know that I'm going to be at my daughter's graduation from university in 2.5 years time, if she does graduate. Right? Now, I can say those things really comfortably. Now, look, a house from Kansas could fall on my head, right? And then I won't. But short of that, each of those things is going to happen. And I know that. Now, then you can jot down a few things that you kind of think you might want, but you don't know whether or not they're going to happen. Well, okay, if I took mine, like, okay, I might, Creating the Impossible might be a New York Times bestseller, right? I can't say with the same knowing that I know I'm going to finish it and deliver it on time that it's going to be a New York Times bestseller. So that's something that I'd kind of like to create, but I don't know in the same way. And so I want you to come up with two lists, a few things that you know are going to happen and a few things that you'd like to happen, but you don't really know if they're going to happen. And I want you to just sit with them. And I want you to reflect on what's different between the two lists. And we'll take 5 minutes and then we'll talk about what you see. Okay, so I recognize for some of you that will have not felt like a lot of time to reflect. For others of you, that may have felt like a lifetime. But what did you see? So to raise a hand, you can click at the bottom of your screen on Manage Participants, and there's a little hand button, and that will raise a virtual hand, which is the easiest one for us to see because you're on multiple screens. If you can't figure that out, you can wave. But let's begin with Rex. Hey, Rex.
Hi there.
Hey, what did you see?
So with my list, I had a very simple thing about two things I know will happen. So I'll have dinner, a glass of wine, that sort of thing. And the things that I put in that I in a want to happen category, mm-hmm. I put things like Supercoach Academy, growing my coaching business to a nice healthy turnover. And I noticed the differences with the first category I felt was very much in my control. Although there's one of them that I haven't revealed to you that isn't actually in my control, that requires another person. But the thing that struck me as really odd was that I felt I can't have it. And I felt that it requires others to make decisions. And I felt that there was a feeling of being indulgent to me about getting those things. You know, it'd be indulgent to me to go on super coach or have amazing 2017 holidays or my coaching business to really take off.
So here's the observation that I would make on that, because that's very common. Like that's not at all uncommon. Sure. I mean, I've never done this exercise before, but it comes up with clients all the time. And those are the manacles that if you try to do any of those things on that I want list, you're trying to do them already handcuffed.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to consider what it would be to just not think that. And I don't mean literally like to block that thought out of your mind, but to just kind of go, well, okay, I don't like that thought. That thought doesn't help me move forward. What else you got? Infinite creative potential, right? Let me go back to the drawing board. Let me go back to not knowing. And let's see what other thoughts occur to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Rex. Let's go to Thomas.
Hello.
Hello.
Everything okay?
Everything is fine.
Yeah. I know I'm going to be employed as a teacher on my daughter's restaurant on Sunday. I have a meeting with an old friend tomorrow. Going to a vegetarians like congress tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a clean desk, you know, like my to-do list is going to be done next week. That's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
What I have to do is my deadlines. And I don't know about if John Mayer is going to sign up for me doing the soundtrack for my homepage.
Mm-hmm.
If my venue is going to succeed, like July. I rented a house for a month in July next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I want a lot of participants joining in and see what we can share. And have an old friend who's in charge of a newspaper out here in my town, and I want to be on the front page telling everyone about the three P's. She was hooked on the idea yesterday, and that was unbelievable as well, that meeting, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make $10 million before the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this, I recover from my bad neck, like 100%.
So what's the difference for you as you look at those lists? Why is it that some things you know are going to happen and some things are on that other list? And I'm not suggesting everything should be on one list or the other. I'm just interested in what you see about what's different about how you hold them in your mind.
The last one, the probable list, is like more out of my hands right now because it's something to work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unfolding right now, so to say. But it's like a
do you have the same level? Let me ask this. Sorry, Thomas. Do you have the same level of intention of having John Mayer do the music for your homepage as you do for teaching at your daughter's place tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
It's a bit harder, I think.
Hang on. Because it may be harder to do. It may not be harder to do, but the question is about intention. Like, I got you're going to be at your daughter's place tomorrow. I got that you think it would be cool if John Mayer did the music for your homepage. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an interesting question. How much of what makes it seem difficult to get John Mayer to do the music for your homepage is that you have no real intention to get John Mayer to do the music for your homepage? So these are questions to explore, right? You could take any of these things and go, oh, so the right way to create a result is I must have strong intention. I must this, I must that. We're not there, right? We're looking at physics, not engineering. We're looking to see what we can see about how creating results already works in the universe we were born into. And the more we see about that, the more straightforward the process of creating results in our own life and helping our clients create results in their lives will be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. How about Ivana?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I think it's quite an interesting exercise. So I have on, I know I'm going to be doing, so I've got some, I know I will be doing a webinar on three principles with a colleague of mine next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I know I will be having dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. And I know we will be going away, staying with some friends for the weekend with the family. Mm-hmm. And then something that I might want, may not happen, but I would like to. So back to the webinar thing, I know I will be doing this webinar, but I don't know if anyone will be turning up. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would like to have a coaching business, but don't know if I'm any good or is going to be successful. Number three, and I would like to find a 3P mentor. Yeah.
So what do you notice as you look at those two lists? What's the difference in how you hold the things on those lists?
Again, like, you know, there's real certainty with the first sort of list. And I think what you sort of said last, so Thomas, is about intention, that was something quite interesting, that kind of like, oh gosh, yeah, very interesting. You know, I suppose in the second list, the one where, you know, I'm going to do this webinar anyway, but I don't know who's going to turn up. I suppose, you know, we don't know, it's kind of, but like the one about having coaching business or finding a 3P mentor. Yeah, where's my intention in that? I don't know. Yes.
Well, there's something interesting, because I would say that one of the absolutely most common strategies that people use to create results that doesn't work very often is write it down and worry, hope, and pray, and then be disappointed. Like, that's the strategy if I was going to map it out. Now, none of the things that any of you will have on your, oh yeah, yeah, this is going to happen list, involve that strategy. They involve clarity of outcome up to a point, right? They involve clarity of direction. They involve clarity of intent. They involve you being clear about which bit of it is up to you and knowing you'll do your bit to make it happen. And you don't even worry about all the variables in whether or not it happens that aren't up to you. Right? So like Thomas, he wasn't sitting there thinking, yeah, but what if my daughter doesn't turn up? Yeah, but what if the school burns down? Yeah, but what if something happens and my car breaks down tomorrow? Yeah, but what if, like, all of those things could happen. They won't, Thomas, don't worry. You know, all of those things could happen. But we just, they're not, we don't concern ourselves with them. We concern ourselves with where we want to go and what we need to do to get there. And yet we don't apply that same simplicity to the things we want to create in the world that for whatever reason we've decided aren't up to us, are different. Now, that doesn't mean that just because we have that clarity of intent, everything we want is going to come. Everything we set out to create will get created as we originally intended. But boy, does it up the odds. Boy, does it tilt the odds in our favor. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's quite interesting, because all the ones that I know I'll be doing, they're kind of quite short term, immediate. And the ones that I would like to, but I don't know what's going to happen. It seems to be all about the future.
Well, and it's interesting that you probably have a few things that you know you will do in the future too.
Yeah.
Right. That time frame was more a function of the exercise and me giving you 5 minutes than what you actually know. There are things that you kind of know you're going to be doing 5 years from now. Thank you, Ivana. Let's go to, I've got you, Michael. I'm going to Gita, then Michael, then Brianne. Go for it, Gita.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Well, I think we talked about most of the things I have on my list. I know I'm going to cook tonight, and I'm going to do a lot of laundry. And I know that I'm going to a conference next week. I don't get a lot of energy thinking about those things, but I know that I'm going to do it. What I don't know, but what I hope I'm going to do is start taking coach clients again, starting a new business around coaching personal development. And I really would like to learn how to program in HTML and things like that. Okay. And what I see is that the things I want to do, thinking of them gives me much more energy. I really would love to do all those things. But what happens is not thinking of the things, but and I have no problem with that. And I have no problem starting up my projects. But it's sometimes, maybe a day or two into one of these projects, I get scared. And it seems like I can't get away of my scared feelings. And then I find a lot of different reasons not to go through with my project. And that is...
So here's what's really cool, Gita. Right? You're sitting here on a call with me, predicting the future, predicting what you're going to feel and the impact of that feeling and how that's going to affect your plans.
Yes.
With a great deal of confidence.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know.
Well, it is crazy, but it's a kind of crazy that we've all got. And it's a crazy that we put stock in our predictions of what we're going to think and feel in the future. Mm. And that's what holds us back, is we know we're going to, I know me, I'm going to do this. And then we talk ourselves out of starting, or we start, but then we're waiting for it. Oh, here it is. Yeah. This, okay. Right. And we have that kind of stop start with our own lives. What if we were even bigger idiots than we think we are?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that really be great? We have no clue what we're going to be thinking and feeling 3 days from now or now. And what if, even if those thoughts and feelings come up, they just come and go?
Yes.
And we just wait for the next one. How much freer could we move forward? Mm. How much would we let ourselves attempt if we weren't convinced that we were psychic in that way and knew how it was going to turn out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I really hope I will not think that next time.
Well, I wouldn't. It's for me, right? Yeah. I wouldn't even bother with that. I would be really curious about, if I do think that, what's going to be the next thought after that one?
Hmm, that's a good one.
What's going to be the thought that moves me forward? Like, you know, I talk sometimes, and I think I actually might have gotten this phrase from Keith Blevins, who's one of the old timers in the principles, and he was one of my first mentors in the principles. And the phrase is, the future is an incomplete equation. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's incomplete is because our experience of life is circumstance plus thought in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Well, there is literally no way we can accurately predict thought in the moment because it's such a fluid thing. So not only do we not know how we're going to feel, though we can kind of create a self-fulfilling prophecy and sort of make ourselves feel that way, but we have no idea what inspiration will occur to us in the moment.
No.
We have no idea what the guiding force is going to tell us when we need it to, because it's a real-time system. Right? Wisdom is a real-time phenomenon. Common sense is a real-time phenomenon. It can tell us exactly what to do now. It can't tell us anything about what we will do 3 days from now.
No.
And yet we proceed as though it's already written.
Mm.
And if that stops making sense to you to do, you can move forward with so much more freedom because you literally don't have to know until it's time what the next step will be, what will occur to you, or what to do. You just need now. You just need to know, well, okay, what's now?
Yeah, and a little faith.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and that faith comes as you begin to notice that that same system has been working for you your entire life.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita.
Yeah.
We'll take Michael and then Brianne, and then I'm going to sneak in a coaching session or two. Michael, let's go for it.
Good morning, afternoon.
Good morning, afternoon. Evening. Just, I got to get that out. It's like a neurotic thing.
Obviously, there's people way ahead of me here. you know, the biggest difference between the two lists is sometimes I like to say that if you... there's something about if you want to get on the bus, if you're on the bus, you'll call the stuff I'm going to do. Like, you know, I'm going to be in Minnesota for Thanksgiving. I bought the ticket. I've done everything I need to do. I've created everything. It's organized. It 99% chance it's going to happen. But the thing on the it might happen is I'm not willing to stand in front of the bus when it goes every time, right? I may not make the bus stop, but there's some trepidation. If I step in front of that bus, will it really stop and I'll get crushed? So there's this, you could call it fear or concern that I haven't got everything ready yet. Or, I mean, it's all these wishing.
I just want to say, I'm in your metaphor in my head and I'm going, why is the bus driving up on the curb?
Yeah. Well, it could. I mean, I walk every morning. And so this metaphor comes from seeing almost being run over by a bus because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. However, the buses stop at all the right places if you're at there at the right time. And it seems like when my life works, I have organized myself to fit in with the bus system. And when I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, I may wish I was on that bus. But I could be on that bus if I was willing to do whatever it took to have it stop at the risk of being run over. Sometimes that's happened to me. I've literally jumped off and figured out how to like grow wings on the way down. And it happens. And sometimes I've crashed and burned. So there's something about what you call intention or commitment.
So Michael, I'm not even being funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's no bus, right?
No, absolutely. I'm just trying
to. Okay. But right. Just, right. No, I understand. But like, here's the thing about metaphor.
Right. Okay.
Metaphor frees us or traps us.
Okay, well, you're right. This is a trap. I got that.
Right. So I would let's throw this metaphor out because it's not helpful.
Okay.
Right. And let's do something just literally. Let's just pretend we have no freaking idea.
Got it. Okay. Right?
What's something on your list that you'd like to make happen, have happen? However you think about it. Just what's one thing you'd like to create in the world?
Be in this coaching course.
Okay. Great. Okay. So if you wanted to do this coaching course, right? Or let's say if your brother wanted to do that, I don't know if you have a brother, but you know, somebody you like comes to you and goes, hey, I really want to do this coaching course. And you know, what's the next step?
Filling out the form and asking for a conversation.
Okay. So you're gonna do that?
That's done.
Right. Okay. So given that that's done, is there a next step between now and having the conversation?
Well, see what shows up. I mean, I can imagine all kinds of.
No. Don't see you actually saw how simple it was and then started looking for ways to make it more complicated.
Absolutely.
That's like habit. Creating results is the most boringly simple thing in the world.
True.
you put one foot in front of the other and you respond to what shows up. And if you actually have an intention of getting somewhere, very often you do, and sometimes you don't. Right. And sometimes you see other things along the way that catch your eye that are more interesting to you. And either way, you either have a great time or a terrible time, depending on how much of your thinking you're believing as you walk there.
True.
That's it. Yeah. No buses. Right. No traps, no manacles even, right? I made those up too.
Sure.
Right? And the beauty of the simplicity is when you see that that's literally all that you ever have to do is take the next step. There's really nothing to get fraught with. And when you do start to get fraught, you know, oh, I'm just a little, I just went up in my head and got lost again.
It's a very comfortable place.
It is a very comfortable place. I know.
Been there a long time.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the real world.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. Brilliant, Michael. Thank you. Thank you. So let's, let me get Brianne in. Hey, Brianne. Or Brianna?
Brianne.
There we
yeah,
go.
Thanks. So that was really interesting as I was listing off things I know. What surprisingly came to me is I actually know I'm going to be a successful coach. That mm-hmm. surprised me. I actually have zero doubts that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. Then when I got to the things like I wanted that might happen, it was the ways that I have planned to become a successful coach that was tripping me up. I thought, isn't that really fun? Like, I know I'm going to be a coach, but I'm really doubtful about the ways that will get me there. And I just thought that was really interesting. So it was almost like just recognizing what I already know to be true. Like, I don't know, the pressure just like kind of went off. I'm like, well, I'm going to try these things and they may happen or work or they may not. But that's okay. Like all of a sudden I became really okay with failing.
So here's the thing that people do that fucks them up pretty consistently is they get a clear sense of direction, right? They kind of go, yeah, I want to go that way. And then they think they know how they're going to get there and they worry about not liking that path. And the comedy of it, And if this doesn't seem funny to you, I get that too. But the comedy of it is you're making up the path. You have no idea. If you look back on how the coolest things that have happened in your life have happened, it was nonlinear. It was dramatically nonlinear. I promise you that. You did not follow a set of pre-prescribed steps. Shit happened and then you kind of went, oh, and you did that. And then something else bizarre happened and you went, oh, and then something else occurred to you and you went, oh, right? And looking backwards, you could sort of make it look like a plan. And maybe you did have a plan going forwards because for some stuff, you know, Andrew's just asked a question about that. For some stuff, planning, you know, it's helpful to know, okay, I need to be here by then. I need to be here by then. But there's a real limited value to that. Most people plan for reassurance, but then wind up getting worried about their plans. There's a big difference between writing out a list of things you need to gather up for your trip as a checklist and, you know, writing up a list of things that you think you need to do on your trip to make your trip work and then tripping yourself up with it. And this is the beautiful simplicity of creating. And it's why I like the metaphor of creating for results is we know in a creative endeavor that we're not going to know ahead of time how it's going to happen. We know we're sitting down with a blank canvas and somehow something's going to come to us and show up on the canvas. And we won't know what words are going to appear on the page. Music's going to appear coming out of my instrument, right? And yet when we look at life, we think, oh, no, that's linear. That's my brain that has to figure that out. And it's like, this is an art. There's an art to getting what you want. And sure, there's science behind it. But it's an art. And as with any art, you have the creativity within you And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And that's true for any of us.
I feel like the biggest thing I've gotten out of all of this and seeing these principles and this understanding is permission to be a human. Yeah, it's permission. We're
me
human.
Too. Yeah. Me too. My favorite chapter in The Space Within is the one on becoming human. Because that was probably the biggest thing I got too. I just had this crazy idea I was supposed to be Superman.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And it really wasn't good for me. And what's funny is the more human I've become, the more cool things happen in my life. But I don't have to be the superhero at the center of them. You know, we did a talk on somehow, and I can't remember what the event was, but it was on the difference between trying to be superhuman and just being a superhuman being. Mm. Right? One of them is really easy, comes naturally, impacts the people around us, and lets us do well in the world. The other one exhausts us, occasionally impresses people, and ultimately we spend all of our time worrying that the world's going to discover our secret identity as Clark Kent. And they're going to see, oh, we're just really ordinary. You know?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brant. That's beautiful. Gita, I would love to bring you back on. You you had sent in a thing about coaching.
That was on Sunday, and I've been listening to you for it's a little bit what we talked about, the scaredness that comes
up when
I try doing things. So I think it's better you talk to someone else.
Okay. So this is, by the way, I often do my best coaching when I don't know I'm doing it. So there you go.
Thank you.
Lynn,
we have brilliant. Kai and Trudy all set up and ready to go for today.
All right. Why don't we start with Kai?
Okay. Brilliant. Kai, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, now we can.
I think I muted me myself and then you moved me and the other way around. But it works now. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. I've got a note at least on my screen that your network bandwidth is low. So let's give it a try.
Okay. I'm in a Starbucks in Berlin. Let's hope it works out. Okay,
that's
perfect.
That's very cool.
First of all, thank you so much that you have me on. To be completely honest, I don't remember what I want to coaching on. I just really enjoyed today's talks, and maybe I can share what happened with me with the list that you gave us. And for me, when I wrote it down, actually, when I put it into writing, and I looked at the difference. For me, it was like the second list, the list where you said like, okay, it might happen. The more I looked at it, the more real it became, and the more I stopped thinking about it so much. It was more of like a calming down, and I'm like, yeah, probably going to happen. And that was really nice. So I will have a 3P workshop tomorrow, and I asked myself, so what exercises should I do? Because that's my first real 3P workshop. I've only done normal leadership workshops and stuff like that. Normal, so to speak, like result-oriented stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was perfect. This was absolutely perfect. I just got what I needed. I got more clarity about what I want to create tomorrow. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And look, this is kind of the beauty of this conversation, is you get what you need when you need it.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I actually was like feeling kind of nervous, and I was like, okay, let's just go into this call and see what happens. And then I just literally got exactly what I needed when I needed it, which is very nice. And that seems to happen more and more, which is very nice.
And it does happen more and more, and your faith in it, because it happens more and more, it's much easier to sustain your faith in it as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, brilliant.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Can you bring Trudy on, Lynn?
I sure can. Trudy, you're unmuted, go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
I also don't remember what my question was. I think it's probably been solved, but I did come up with a new one. So I don't know whether we want to revisit the
question. No. What would be, look, you and I, for the fates have put us in a room together for the next 5 minutes or so. Like, okay. What should we talk about?
So this has been coming up for me all week long. I've been holding and creating workshops for women to get out of toxic relationships. And through the course of this week, and I started reading George, the book, The Relationship Handbook, mm-hmm. and it's kind of turning everything on its ear because it's all about recognizing and changing and doing and, you know, getting strong and breaking free. And that's what it's called, breaking free. And it's kind of really screwing me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. But no, quite literally, like my first big insight into this, and I write about it in the Inside Heart Revolution, but was, oh my God, we're born happy. Like we are in well-being is innate in us. And I was about to go on a book tour promoting a book on how to create happiness. And it was really annoying. You know, to this day, the publisher doesn't know why that book tanked.
So,
I do. I've told them, but you know.
Well, this is where I think I could use some help with coaching, because this is where I'm getting stuck in my thinking, is that I have two questions around it. One is, if everything is neutral, you know, and we're attaching the meaning and we're creating our experience with our thoughts, how does that really apply to what at least seems to be very real, tangible emotional or physical abuse in a relationship? And then the second question is really, what might be a better way for me to coach these women now with this new understanding?
Okay, so I'll take the second one first. You can only, my belief is, you can only ever coach well from what you see. So as you see different ways of coaching will occur to you. Hmm. So it would be pointless in me telling you how to coach them because I don't know what you see.
Okay.
Like even if you told me, you will never go wrong sharing what we call on the Academy your black dot, right? Your black dot is the little bit that you see, mm-hmm. right? And people will respond to that because they can see that you see it. Mm-hmm. And if you try to speak above your pay grade, if you try and coach from what you read in George's book or what you heard from me or someone else, it won't. I mean, occasionally it'll land because it's true, but as often as not, it'll get wobbly and they'll ask a question and go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's in a way the simpler one. Stay with what you see, and as you see more, it will change. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, relationships that seem physically or emotionally abusive. Okay. I'm so taking out my 10-foot barge pole on this one, and I'll share what I see, and I will understand if it comes out wrong. But physical abuse is something that, in my mind, you know, is not a part of any healthy human relationship, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it is an indicator that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, probably there have been about 500 indicators that got missed before that one. Mm-hmm. And people have an inner knowing and an inner resilience and an inner strength. And when they are in touch with that, they will know what to do. So it is actually their being out of touch with their own inner compass, their own inner sense of well-being, their own inner aliveness that would cause them to stay in that situation unless at some level they see there's some reason. And there's a story I won't go into, but I used to be an absolute line in the sand, and then I had an experience with a couple that changed that. mm-hmm. where I saw that it was love that was and knowing that was keeping the woman there, not fear. And the entire relationship shifted from that. So that's why I don't anymore make a blanket statement. Emotional abuse, and I know that covers a host of things depending on how people are using the phrase. I'm going to say it. I don't think emotional abuse is real. I think somebody can be angry and upset and manipulative and deceitful, and even have the intent to keep you down or to hurt your feelings. I believe that. I see that. But we can only feel our thinking. Mm-hmm. So it is not possible for our emotions to be abused by someone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was, this whole week, that's what's stirring the pot for me, is mm-hmm. sort of that realization that says, wow, okay. And how much is that person being affected then? Like, that just changes everything. Like, that, if that insight comes in, that just changes the whole dynamic of that relationship.
And it completely shifts the where the power is.
Yeah.
Because now the power actually always was in me.
Yeah.
Now, again, you talk with people because they might turn that into self-blame. They might turn that into, oh, well, I should just put up with it since it's me. They might turn that into a bunch of things before they really see it.
Or that they have the power to fix or control.
Right, absolutely. So that's where the coaching comes in. Mm-hmm. But when you actually see, oh my God, I'm okay, and I do this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
When that person does what they're doing, and it's two separate issues, reclaiming my power and what I decide to do about the relationship that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's no question that it takes one to tango. As you find that in yourself, your partner will change. Now, they may change in a way that you still don't want to be with them. That's mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. Right? This isn't about, oh, any, you know, you can all, it's about finding that power in yourself
mm-hmm.
and okay. living from that.
That helps. Yeah. That's huge. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Trudy. So I want to take our last bit of time, and I know there's a lot of questions, and come on Super Coach Academy, I'll answer all of them. But I did want to just talk a little bit about the Academy and my intention for it. And genuinely, I would love you there if you really want to be there, right? Because this is, for me, I first came up with the notion of the Academy in a way when I was 20 years old. And it was my original intention for it was that it was going to be an acting school because I was an actor back then. And I just loved the idea of people learning about life through the field of, you know, what we were all up to as actors, kind of playing make-believe with life. And then when I came across coaching, I thought, oh my God, this is even better, because now not only can we learn about life and have richer lives, but we can help other people do the same. And so while the Academy's gone through a number of incarnations where it was more just about coaching or just about the principles, this year for the first time, I'm really integrating them in a way where my intention for every person who comes on the Academy is not only that they get this at a very deep level, that they wake up, you wake up to your aliveness, your inner self, your true self, your knowing, your wisdom, your beauty, your well-being, but that you use what you've seen to help other people do that in their own lives. And we're going to do that through live intensives. We're going to spend 5 days with me three times in Venice Beach. We found a venue that's right on Venice Beach. So literally you go into this beautiful Zen yoga studio and then you come out and there's the ocean and crazy all around you. So it's gorgeous. We have three kinds of masterclasses between the live sessions. Very similar to this in terms of Zoom, where there'll be grounding masterclasses where some of my mentors and the principals will come on and share what they see and help you see more. coaching master classes where people who do work with others in this field will come on and coach real people, right? And then you'll get to talk with them about what they see and why they coach the way they coach. And there's a lot that can be learned from watching great coaches coach. And then business building master classes where you'll get to kind of really explore, you know, what is a coaching practice? What kind of practice do you want to have? How do you build it? What gets in your way? You know, are selling and marketing really things you don't know about? And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. And all of the things that are involved in creating a successful coaching practice. And for me, it really is a heart and soul project. Like, I think coaching is a worthy profession. I think it is worthy of an investment of time and money. And I think it makes a huge difference in the world. And that's my intention with this academy. One of the reasons we're keeping it smaller, one of the reasons it's more individual supervision this time, is I want us all to hold ourselves to a higher standard. To a level of rigor about actually meaning what we say and saying what we mean. And if those of you have read the post that I was my sort of graduation speech to the class of 2016, what it is to live it and own it and mean it. And I said this to somebody this morning, you already know, but you're already in or you're out. And if you're in, you can spend a lot of time trying to talk yourself out of it. And if you're out, you can spend a lot of time trying to talk yourself into it. And I suggest you do neither. I suggest you sit with it. And when you know, reach out to Lynn. And as I say, if you've got a lot of questions, she'll either answer them or she'll put you in touch with one of our graduates or she'll put you in touch with me and we'll talk about it. And once you're in, you'll get a mentor coach. And once the academy starts, you'll also have a supervision coach who'll work with you specifically on your coaching and your grounding and your practice development, as well as all of the group stuff that we do. So I have actually loved the hell out of this week. I hope you have too. And I'll look forward to seeing those of you that I see at the academy and the rest of you. I hope I'll see you on some other event soon. So thank you very much. Love you. And that's all I got. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're amazing.